Shabbat Shalom. And what a beautiful Shabbat we have today. I'm going to continue in part two of the lessons in the wilderness. And it's been pretty interesting because this also connects with, I don't know if I did one or two messages before this concerning Babylon and some of the things with Babylon. I know I did Isaiah, Babylon in the end time. But I've been getting a lot of response, and good response. A lot of people, particularly from America, you know, asking about leaving Babylon and doing things. And hopefully today this will help to answer some of those questions. Because, you know, when you think about it, the wilderness, it's an important thing. And as important as it's been for the last 3,500 years, you know, since they came out of the wilderness, I'm going to start here in 1 Corinthians 10. We know for the last generation, it's the most important. Because we can all learn from the wilderness. There's things that the children of Israel did, made mistakes in the wilderness that we can learn by in our own spiritual life with Yahweh. And we could write books. We can go over sermons for years on the wilderness. And I never find it boring. I never feel it gets old because it's living. It really, all of us to one sense or another, are learning the same lessons that they're learning. But for the last generation, when we know there will be another physical wilderness, and I always say this in the early congregation class, that that's what the early believers believed. They believed that because Yeshua died in 30 AD, that there would be a second wilderness of 40 years. We see this the same in the Dead Sea Scrolls. They believed the same theology. And that's why they thought Yeshua would be returning by 70. They didn't realize that, yes, there'll be a second wilderness, but it wasn't going to be right at that time. But it's always been. It's always been a belief of the believers from the first century on, and even before that, even in Jewish antiquity, that there would be a second wilderness. That where the first wilderness and the children of Israel failed miserably, where they not only failed on going into the physical promised land, we're going to see today, Yahweh swore in his wrath, they will not enter his rest. And his rest was not the land of Israel. As a matter of fact, we see that when they came into Israel, it wasn't a rest. That's when the games just began and they had to go and fight. His rest with Israel pictured from the very beginning was his millennial rule. So in 1 Corinthians 10, and we'll read that scripture and then we'll kind of go off there. Because this is what we're going to go over today. The lessons that they didn't learn and what we need to learn today. 1 Corinthians 10 says, "And I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized to Moses in the cloud and in the sea." Pretty interesting analogy there. We know that there was a wall of water on the right and a wall of water on the left, hundreds of feet high. And the Apostle Paul is making an analogy that as they're going through there, it was a type of baptism to them. "And all ate the same spiritual food. And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock following, and that rock was Messiah." We know that, we were just talking about today in our Torah study here, that Messiah is with them. "Yet Elohim was not pleased with most of them, for they were scattered in the deserted places." We went over this last week, a scary, chilling thought, that the greatest miracle that Yahweh ever did, physically to man, more than 2 million people, you know, women, children, men, coming through here. And like I said, when you watch the Ten Commandment movies and you see it, all those people leaving with their flocks and their herds, and they're all happy and they're cheering, and Yahweh defeated Pharaoh and all the plagues that happened. And just a few years later, the end result was two people, Caleb and Joshua, that were 20 and above, went into the Promised Land. They all died in the wilderness. They lost their eternal life. It's a really, really sobering situation. "But these things," verse 6, "but these things became examples for us, so that we may not be lusting after evil, even as those indeed lusted. Neither be idolaters, as even of some of them it has been written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." And again, idolatry is anything you put before Yahweh. It doesn't matter what it is. Anything that's physical that you put before Yahweh, it doesn't have to be bowing down to a fat Buddha statue. If you're putting your job, your car, your family, your house, You know, anything. He who loves mother, father, sister, brother, wife, anything more than me is not worthy of me. And one of the big questions, which maybe I'll get into a tiny bit today, that have come from many, many people in Babylon. You know, what do you do when you have an unconverted spouse that simply refuses to go along and says, hey, you could go wherever you want to go, but no matter what, I'm not leaving Babylon. And I think you don't have to look much further than Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot and his wife to answer that question. Because I never, ever can think of one example in the Bible where Yahweh ever allowed somebody to be disobedient over a spouse. Doesn't matter where you look, anywhere you look in the Bible, each person is accountable to Yahweh for themselves, and it's not a good situation if you're in an equally yoked marriage. The Bible says if your spouse chooses to stay with you, then you should stay with that spouse. But if the spouse chooses to leave, let him go. You're not in bondage in such cases. Nor should we commit fornication, as some of them fornicated and 23,000 fell in one day. If you look in Scripture, spiritual fornication is any kind of compromise with Yahweh and His way. Is spiritual fornication. Neither let us tempt the Messiah, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. And I think this is one of the things that many in Babylon don't realize, how much they're tempting Yahweh every single day. Because as we see world events coming to a close, and we clearly know it's not a mystery. Could Babylon be destroyed in 100 years? No, it can't. It can't. Because Yahweh's word clearly says, I've given 70 years for Babylon. Yahweh's word clearly says exactly when that begins. All these things will happen in one generation. Matthew 24, 32 through 34. And he says that generation starts with the fig tree, with Israel becoming a nation. So there's not a lot up for guessing. Because this is eternal life that depends on it. And Yahweh is telling us exactly the time frames. So we don't have to be big guessers here. But when we don't believe Yahweh, and we don't even start to make plans, when we just make it like, well, if he wants me out, he'll have to take me. And it's not just about leaving Babylon, America. It's about anything in our life. When basically we know right from wrong, and we do nothing. We do nothing. You know, the Bible says bear fruit. How many people have a plan of action to bear fruit? You know, the Bible tells us by the things that we're doing now, our eternal reward or eternal judgment is going to come. How many people wake up every day with their plan of action in their hand? This is what Yahweh wants from me. I'm going to go and accomplish it. You know, if not, we're tempting Yahweh. We're tempting him because he says, if you don't bear fruit, you're going to die. And we're saying, go ahead, Yahweh, make my day. Try me. Try me. You know, we're a lot of people are back in the false grace. Oh, at the end of the day, he'll work it out. No, he won't work it out. He's not going to lie against himself. And when we're not fulfilling his will, you know, and again, it doesn't mean that we can't have nice things in life. Doesn't mean we can't marry. It doesn't mean we can't have children. But what does he say? Seek ye first the kingdom, and all these things will be given to you. The kingdom has got to come first. And that's the point of this message. It's not about leaving a place or going to another place. It's about following the cloud of Yahweh wherever he goes in your life. And if you're seeking first the kingdom, it really is not hard to follow the cloud. Because when you're seeking him first, that cloud is the sky. Anywhere you look, you'll see the cloud. But if you're not seeking first the kingdom, that cloud is like the tiny palm, like with Elijah. It's so hard to see that you almost won't see it at all. Then he says, neither should you murmur, as some of them murmured and perished by the hand of the destroyer. How many people murmur? Where do we go? What do we do? He wouldn't do this. He wouldn't expect this. Murmuring. And all these happen to those as examples, as it was written, for our warning on whom the ends of the ages have come. So like I said, all for the last 2,000 years, you could have learned from this. You could have got lessons. But it's written for us. It's written for the last generation. Because up to now, nobody has gone to the wilderness. But very, very soon, Yahweh is going to take a people to the physical wilderness. It's a people that have already gone to the spiritual wilderness, that are preparing, that are planning, that every day of their life, they're looking toward the kingdom. They're not looking behind toward Babylon or Sodom and Gomorrah or anything else. And that's a big part of the problem. And all these things happen to those as examples written for a warning on whom the edge of the ages have come, so that he who thinks he stand, let him be careful that he not fall. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I'm scared to death of it. Scared to death? The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And I do have fear. I don't fear man. I don't fear death. What I fear is, I fear falling out of Yahweh's will. I fear losing my relationship with him because of myself, not because of Yahweh. Yeah, I fear Yahweh. I fear him because I know his power and I know he's not playing games. And when I read my Bible, I don't see the once saved, always saved. I don't see the false grace. I don't see Jesus does everything. I don't see any of it. I don't see any of those things. They're all lies. They're all paganism lies that go back all the way to the first century with Simon Magnus. But it's not in there. What I see in my Bible is accountability. Accountability for what Yahweh has given me, and accountability to act on that, accountability to do something with it. That each of us, he didn't call us to be spectators. He called us, he put his spirit in us, he's given us gifts to go out there and bear fruit for him. And when we're not bearing fruit for him, we're making him look barren. And that's why the children of Israel in the wilderness, when Moses came down, and they were doing every kind of wicked evil and building the golden calf. What did Yahweh say? Forget them. I'll destroy them all and I'll make you a nation greater than this. Because there's accountability that Yahweh has. And if we don't fulfill that accountability, we're going to be replaced. So this is what it's about. Full submission to the will of Yahweh. Faith is simply believing and fully submitting to the will of Yahweh. That's all it is. And life becomes so much easier when we get that. When we stop taking this indoctrination that Satan gives us every day of our life, that we're free, we'll never follow a man, I'm going to make my own decisions. And the one thing I learned in my own life, I don't want to make my own decisions, because every time I did that in my life, I failed. I'd rather surrender to the Holy Spirit, listen to its voice, and let it lead me every day of my life. And then I can't fail, because Yahweh can't fail. And that's what it comes down to. Let's go to Luke 14. Luke, the 14th chapter, in verse 16. But he said to them, a certain man made a great supper and invited many. And he sent his slave at the supper hour to those who had been invited, saying, come, for now all is ready. And with one mind began to beg off. The first said to him, I have bought a field. I have need to go out and see it. I ask you, have me excused. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, I'm going to try them out. I ask you, have me excused. And another said, I married a wife, and for this reason I am not able to come. And having come up, that slave reported these things to his master. Then being angry, the housemaster said to his slave, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the lamed and the blind and the blind ones. The poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind ones. And the slave said, sir, it has been done as you ordered, and still there is room. And the master said to the slave, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. But I say to you, not one of those men who have been invited shall taste of my supper. And I've said this before. I'm telling you, when we did in 2012, we did the rededication at the feast. That wasn't just some kind of cute thing. It wasn't some kind of advertisement just to have a lot of fun. I believe with all my heart that Yahweh inspired that. I believe that Yahweh inspired to do that rededication, because I think that we are at a point in time in history that most people have no idea how close we are to his return. And you can believe it or not, but this is what he's telling me in my spirit, that we're past the point of no return, that things are happening quick. You could look in world events. And the thing in the end, what Yahweh tells us is to pray to have eyes to see. How many parables did Yeshua say that? Him that has eyes to see. I thank you, Yahweh, that I have eyes to see. I see it clearly. I see it when I read my Bible. I see it when I turn on the news. I see it when I look in the world. Every single thing he talked about is coming to pass. What more sign do I need? What on earth more sign do I need? And you know what? Even if he gave another sign. You know, we got 4 blood moons coming. Even if the stars fall from the heaven, even if anything happens, you know what will happen? People will talk about it for a day, and then they'll move on to something else. Right? We talked about it at the feast, not this last year, the year before that, about the Maseroth. You know? And the fact of every 2,000 years or so, how the constellations change because of the turning of the earth, that the earth starts the year in a new constellation. This can't be manipulated by man. And Yahweh has done it to show us his time frame, to show us when the world started, it was in the constellation of the ox. The ox is the authority, him being the authority of the world. And then it shows when he makes the covenant with Abraham, that it's the constellation is now in Aries the ram, showing, you know, that's when Abraham goes to sacrifice Isaac, what happens? You know, he finds the ram in the thicket, Moriah, Yahweh will provide. And then when Yeshua comes, it goes to the constellation of the fish. I will make you fishers of men, that this word is going to go throughout the world. And now as we're speaking, it's going in the constellation of the man who's the water pourer. And what does Yeshua say? You know, all those who want living water, come to me. He is the water pourer. He's going to pour his spirit out. You know, Ezekiel 47, Revelation 22, in that day water will come from under the temple and go throughout. And there'll be living water everywhere. What more signs do we need? So it doesn't matter that Jupiter can fall from the sky. You know, no matter what happens, you believe it for a day and then you move on. That's human nature. That's human nature. And that's why we need the wilderness. Because unless you come out of the world, you're not going to make it. You will not make it if you stay in the world. You will not make it if you don't sanctify yourself. We just read it today. What was it? What was it that made the tabernacle set apart? It was sanctified. It was set apart for it. And when we're compromising with the world, and this is the problem with Babylon. Babylon is nothing but a compromise. And instead of the people there hearing a message like this and crying to Yahweh and repenting, they're just trying to figure out how to compromise more. What is the least amount I can do and still make it? What compromise can I do? It's not about compromise. And our example for the last 2,000 years, and to Yahweh's glory, most of those people in the wilderness died for their faith. But I'll tell you know, read my book when it comes out, and you'll see story after story after story of people that were brutally tortured like you can't imagine. That we're told as they're being tortured, all you have to do is acquiesce with us. Just baptize your children. What's the big thing? Just start coming to church with us on Sunday and we'll never persecute you. And they said, no, not an inch. Because you compromise an inch, you're going to compromise a foot. And you compromise a foot, you're going to compromise a yard. And they said, go ahead, make my day. Because by killing me, you know what you're doing? You're just putting me in Yahweh's kingdom that much quicker. So their life was cut short, 10 years or 20 years, maybe 50 years in some points. But it really wasn't cut short when you have eternity. What was cut short is their persecution by the Roman Empire. That's all that was cut short. And they died in faith. They held the faith. And they compromised not an ounce. And now they're sitting in their graves and they're waiting for that resurrection just around the corner. Where's our reality? Is our reality in this? Is our reality in Babylon? Is our reality in money? You know, you give a message, you know, about the money system falling. And I get more letters and more people asking me what to do with their money instead of what to do with their spiritual life. I'm not a financial advisor. You know, you want to ask me, I give the same answer all the time. Sell everything you have and give to the poor. That's my only. I'm not going to tell you to go into gold and go into silver and buy this and do that. If that's what you want to ask me, that's the answer you'll get. I'm not a financial planner. But I can tell you a lot on your spiritual life. You want to know about that? I'll tell you a lot. Seek ye first the kingdom, and all the rest is easy. Seek ye first the kingdom. Make that your joy of every day in your life. This is not the end of the world. It's the beginning of the new age. Too many people focused on New World Order, the Antichrist. You know, Chicken Little, the sky is falling. That's not my focus. My focus is Yeshua is returning in my lifetime. And if Yahweh blesses me and allows me to be alive when he comes here, then I will be part of the solution and not the problem. And I live for that kingdom every day. I don't live for Babylon. I don't even live for physical Israel. I live for the kingdom of Yahweh. And every opportunity that he can give me to witness of that kingdom every day. And the minute I compromise, even an ounce, my witness is nothing. It doesn't matter whether it's to somebody on the street, to somebody I work with, to a government official, to my husband or my wife, to my children. It doesn't make a difference. The minute you compromise, your witness becomes nothing. And that's why we need the wilderness. We need to come out of the world and we need to sanctify ourselves. We need to separate ourselves so that we can get our minds cleared. And it's a scary time we're living in. We were talking about it last night. I said, one thing that has me scared is that through technology and through all these things they have, they can manipulate your mind. It's very easy. You know, people that have chips, we know it already. You know, a couple of years ago, there was a shooting in Columbine, Colorado. And they already said it. 1 or 2 years before that happened, those high school kids were part of a program where they were chipped. You know? So why is it that everybody who's part of a program that's getting chipped is coming out and shooting people down? And then later saying they're hearing voices in their head. Or the dog talked to them and said, go out and kill these people. Because there is mind control. There's no doubt about it. There's mind control. You don't think so? Why would people spend millions of dollars for a 30-second commercial? Because they know how to control your mind. And they know in 30 seconds they can get you to drink Coca-Cola. Poison water. All it is sugar filled with caramel. And it's the biggest drink in the world. And it's not because it tastes good. It's because they can brainwash you in 30 seconds to drink it. And that scares me because I'm physical, I'm human, and I don't want to be controlled by anything but the Spirit of Yahweh. So I look forward to the real wilderness. I look forward to the spiritual wilderness, but I look forward to really being out there. And so what? So you go to the toilet in the ground instead of going and flushing in an indoor toilet. So there's no refrigerators. So you eat the fruit off the tree instead of eating something refrigerated. That's all secondary. The bottom line of it is you're out there where you don't have Satan's devices controlling you every day of your life. Yahweh willing, hopefully you'll be with other believers of like-mindedness. And you can really, those will be the last days before Yeshua is coming. And every single day is important. Let me continue here. And great crowds, verse 25, came to him in turning. He said, if anyone comes to me and does not love less than me, his father, his mother, and wife, and children, and brothers, and sisters, and beside even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whose life is more important, yours or Yeshua's? And whoever does not bear his torture stake and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. What do we miss on that? So if we want to do something in our life, what is more important? Is it more important bearing fruit for Yahweh's kingdom? Is it more important saving that one last soul? Because it's not Yahweh's will for any to perish, but we know every will. Or is it more important what I want? That I want to build my life. I want to do this. I want to do that. You know, what is more important? His desires or our desires? And then he goes on to say about building a tower, the king getting ready to make war. In verse 33, so then every one of you who does not forsake all his possessions is not able to be my disciple. We talked about this before. Does it mean you literally have to give every last thing you have up, or all of us would be dependent on other people? What it means is mentally. Mentally, you have to be ready to give up anything that Yahweh requires of you for his kingdom. That's what he asks. So that's the point, like Paul says, that we hold without possessing. That if I have it today, wow, Yahweh gave me this and I need it, but tomorrow if I don't need it, I give it to somebody else. That we possess nothing for ourselves, only what comes for his kingdom. But you have to enter the wilderness. You have to, every single person, I will tell you 100%, if you don't enter the spiritual wilderness, you will never get into the real wilderness. To me, that's the scariest part about Babylon, is the Laodicean church. They think they're rich and increased with goods and need of nothing, and yet they don't know they're poor, they're blind, they're miserable, and they're naked. You know, I came from a church there, the Worldwide Church of God, that was a pretty big church in those days with a lot of people, and they used to preach all the time. Most of the breakups still do that. They're the Philadelphia congregation, the only one that has nothing against them. And now, you know, as you see the reality of it, they weren't Philadelphia, they were Laodicean. And the things that went on, the evils they did, to think they're Philadelphia with nothing wrong, how much more blind can you be? And yet, how many people out there think the same thing? You know, when they read these things, it's always about somebody else, it's not about me. And that's the scary part with Babylon. Because Babylon is Laodicea, you know, and it's not just United States I'm talking about. I'm talking about anybody with the Babylonian mindset that enrich, increase with goods in need of nothing, and they don't know they're poor, they're blind, they're miserable, and they're naked. So you have to enter the wilderness. Yahweh has to lead us to our next wilderness stop. And that's the big part about entering the spiritual wilderness. I said this the last time, you know, I realized in my life, my whole life, I led myself. I had plan of action for every day, every minute, you know, every month, every year. I had it all there. But where was Yahweh in that plan? It wasn't there. But he had to take me to the wilderness to show me, you have to let my spirit lead you. Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel 20 is where the rubber hits the road of the first wilderness and the second wilderness. Starting in verse 2, and the word of Yahweh was to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the elders of Israel and say to them, So says Adonai Yahweh, have you come to inquire of me? As I live, declares Adonai Yahweh, I will not be inquired of by you. Will you judge them? Will you judge them, son of man? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. And say to them, So says Adonai Yahweh, in the day I chose Israel and lifted my hand to the seed of the house of Jacob, and I was made known to them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted my hand to them, saying, I am Yahweh your Elohim. In that day I lifted up my hand to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt into a land flowing with milk and honey that I had searched out for them. The glory of it is to all the lands. Then I said to them, Each man cast away the filthy idols of your eyes and do not defile yourself with the idols of Egypt. I am Yahweh your Elohim. But they rebelled against me. They would not listen to me. They did not each man throw away the filthy idols of their eyes, and they did not forsake the idols of Egypt. And then I said, I will pour out my fury against them to complete my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I worked for my namesake so that it would not be profaned in the eyes of the nations among whom they were. For I made myself known to them in their eyes by bringing them out of the land of Egypt. I caused them to go out from the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes, and I made them know my judgments. If a man does, he will even live by them. And I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am Yahweh who sets them apart. But remember, Israel never entered the spiritual wilderness first. You know, they had the crash course. They went right from slavery into the real wilderness. And you would think, by being slaves for 200 years, they would have understood judicial order. You would have think they would have been browbeaten to the point that they would have been, wow, Yahweh, anything is better than what we were going through. And yet, look at the result. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes, and they despised my judgments. If a man does them, he will even live by them. And they greatly profaned my Sabbaths. Then I said, I will pour out my fury on them in the wilderness to consume them. But I worked for my namesake, that it should not be profaned in the eyes of the nations before whom I brought them out in their eyes. And I also lifted up my hand to them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land flowing with milk and honey, which I had given. It is the glory of all the lands. Because they despised my judgments, and they did not walk in my statutes, and they profaned my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. And my eye spared them from destroying them, and I did not make an end to them in the wilderness. But I said to their sons in the wilderness, Do not walk in the statutes of your fathers, and do not keep their judgments, and do not defile yourself with their idols. I am Yahweh your Elohim, walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them, and guard my Sabbaths to keep them holy, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am Yahweh your Elohim. But their sons rebelled against me, they did not walk in my statutes, they did not keep my judgments to do them, which if a man does them, he shall live by them. They profaned my Sabbaths, and then I poured out my fury on them to fulfill my anger against them in the wilderness. And we know what happened. They went diaspora, they were out there. But interesting enough, what makes this such an amazing chapter is, later in the chapter, as I'm going to start reading here, verse 33, now we get into the end time. So you're going into the same way we just read in Corinthians 10, that everything is an example for us, whom the end of the ages have come. So now, after he tells them everything they went wrong in the wilderness, look at what happens now in our time. Verse 33. As I live, says Adonai Yahweh, surely with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with fury poured out, I will reign over you. Uh-oh. Doesn't sound like we learned a lot in 2,000 years. You know? So now we're getting into the second wilderness, and it's not a thing where the people are openly and willingly going to the wilderness. He's saying, with fury poured out, I'm going to have to drag you there. And I will bring you out from the people and gather you from the lands in which you were scattered. Among them with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm will fury poured out. And the one thing I don't understand is, you know, we talk about this, like I said, doesn't matter whether you're from Uganda, or whether you're from Philippines, whether you're from America, whether you're from Canada, because all these are places that Yahweh sends us to do as ambassadors. But every one of us, it doesn't matter what our skin looks like, it doesn't matter if we're male or female, what matters is that every one of us have the same spirit inside of us. And our citizenship is in heaven. That's where our citizenship comes from. And the kingdom that we proclaim is a kingdom that's not here on the earth yet. As Yeshua told Pilate, my kingdom is not in this world. So why? It grieves me that people are so anchored to a physical place. It doesn't matter where it is. It doesn't matter whether it's Germany, America, or any other place on the earth. That people would be so anchored to a physical place that they would put more trust in Babylon than in the kingdom of Yahweh to come. That they have no interest on coming out of the most evil, vile, immoral system that mankind has ever had. You know, there's been homosexuality forever, but it's never been open. Even Sodom and Gomorrah knew it was a grave sin. They knew that it wasn't something good. Now to have a community, the world leader, that actually says these things are normal, and get used to it. And you know what? We're going to start teaching it to your kids in first grade. Yeah, right. You know? You better have a shotgun and a lantern because you're going to have to kill me and it's going to take all night. Because it just ain't going to happen as long as I'm alive, not in my family. No way on earth. Why do I want anything to do with such immorality? Why on earth would I want anything to do with such a system? And here it is, Yahweh's hand is sitting there saying, come on. Come on, I want to take you. I want to bring you to my wilderness where I'll take care of you. Where I have manna waiting for you. Where I have water ready to come out of the rock. Because you know what? My kingdom is coming right here so shortly, but none of you are ready. And we're not. We're not ready yet. And instead of openly, joyfully following Yahweh to that wilderness and learning from Him, we want to fight Him every day, every step along the way. We want to hold on to the old things, whether it's things in our character or whether it's things in our lands. We simply don't want to go to the wilderness. And that's what he's saying here. I will bring you out from the people and gather you from the lands in which you were scattered among them with a mighty hand and with outstretched arm, with fury poured out. So sad. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people and I will be judging you there face to face. Wow, to think, even before the kingdom comes, to think that if you're faithful, you might see Yeshua face to face in the wilderness. And how do we look at that? Are we excited? Are we preparing? Are we trying to do what we have to do to be there to see Him? Or are we fighting Him every step along the way? Just as I was judging your fathers, we read in the beginning of this, in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so I will be judging you, declares Adonai Yahweh. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. What does he mean? Shepherd, every time he has a sheep, every night he has his rod, and he counts them. As every sheep come, he lets them go and he counts them all. Because Yeshua cares about every single one. Remember when the miracle of the fish and the loaves? And when he fed the 5,000 and afterwards there, he said, gather up all. And there were 12 baskets for the 12 tribes. He says that none will be lost. He doesn't want any to be lost. And he cares of each of us. He knows the hairs on our head. And that's what he's doing here. Just like a shepherd that loves his sheep. He wants us to pass under the rod into the bond of the covenant. But I will purge from among you the rebels and the transgressors against me. And I will bring them out of the land where they reside, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and they shall know that I am Yahweh. And you know, a lot of them don't care. A lot of them today, you know, a lot of times when I travel, I talk to people, mostly in America, not in other places in the world. I have a lot of people that come up to me and they say, oh, you're not going to get me in Israel in this day and age. You know, I'll be there when the millennium comes. And I always tell them, don't be too sure. Unless the kingdom of Yahweh is in you, you will not be in the kingdom of Yahweh. And if you have no desire to see this land, if you have no desire to see what Yahweh has been doing for the last 6,000 years, don't be too sure you're going to be there when the Messiah returns. Because remember the Laodicean. He thinks he's rich and increased with goods and need of nothing. And he doesn't know he's poor, he's blind and miserable and naked. But here in the wilderness, Yahweh's going to do this. You know, right now we're living in this wicked, evil, immoral world. There's a lot of rebellion within congregations as well as the world. But Yahweh says, the rebellious are not going to come into this land. He's going to weed them out from among them, and he's going to purge the transgressors that are there. So it's a beautiful story here. And then verse 40, for in my holy mountain, in the mountain heights of Israel, declares Adonai Yahweh, all the house of Israel shall serve me there, all of them in the land. There I will accept them, and there I will seek your heave offering and the first fruits of your offering and all your holy things. And I will accept you with a soothing aroma, and I will bring you from the people and gather you from the lands where you have been scattered in them. And I will be sanctified among you in the eyes of the nations. And you will know that I am Yahweh when I bring you into the land of Israel, to the land for which I lifted up my hand to give to your fathers. And you shall remember there your ways and your evils by which you have been defiled by them. And you will hate yourself to your faces for all the evil which you have done. And you will know that I am Yahweh when I have worked with you for my name's sake, and not by your evil ways, nor by your evil doings, O house of Israel, declares Adonai Yahweh. So praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh, even when we're unfaithful, he continues to be faithful. Numbers 20. Numbers, the 20th chapter. Because a lot of times people tell me, the reason why they don't want to enter the wilderness is they don't want to be alone. I actually have met families in the past, Sabbath families, believing families, that actually still, some of them go to Sunday church still. Because they say, I do it for my children. Because my children need playmates. My children need people to play with. And sometimes people will compromise for so-called fellowship in ways you can never imagine. But look at Numbers 20. And the sons of Israel, even in the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month. And the people remained in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water in the congregation, and they were gathered against Moses and against Aaron. And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, oh, that we died when our brothers died before Yahweh. And why have you brought the assembly of Yahweh to this wilderness to die here, we and our animals? And why have you brought us up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? Not a place of seed, nor fig, or vine, or pomegranate. And there is no water to drink. You know, I've actually, not very often, 99 out of 100 people that come to Israel and come here for pilgrimage, it changes their life, and they're amazed when they come here. But every now and then, I'll have someone come up to me and say, oh, this land isn't so good. Why is this like this? You know? And just like it's saying here, blaming Yahweh, you're not bringing me to a land like this. I had it better. And so and so. And I can tell you from experience, you are 1,000, 1,000,000 times better by yourself in the wilderness than in the congregation of the wicked. You know, we went through many, many years. I don't know how many years it was altogether, but at least 6, 7 years, maybe longer, maybe even up to 10 years, where we had no fellowship. Not that we don't want fellowship. We love fellowship. But I'll tell you something. You know, my years in the wilderness, some of them were the greatest years of my life and some of the greatest Sabbaths of my life. You know, just being with Yahweh. How on earth? I always say this. I tell people, even when I'm doing marriage counseling, you know, when people will say they're getting married because they're lonely or they want this. And I say, a human being, if you're lonely with the Spirit of Yahweh in you, then you will never be fulfilled by another human being. Because only Yahweh can really fill us up in Yeshua. And it's from that outgoing, once he fills us with love and all the things of his Spirit, it's the overflow of that that we're giving to somebody else. And that's the reason why we want to go out and get married. Not for me, because I want this, because I'm lonely, because I want this. No, because I'm so filled with Yahweh's Spirit, I want to share these blessings with somebody else. And the wilderness is a great time. Can you imagine? You know, if you look today, something is happening in our day that has never happened in 2,000 years. That Yahweh and the millions of people are taking people with his Spirit, just working in their minds. He's taking them out of organized religion, and he's calling them to the wilderness. But many are called, few are chosen. Simply the way it is. Many are called, few are chosen, and few are faithful. So much better to be by yourself in the wilderness than compromise, you know, and be with the unrighteous, thousands in the house of the unrighteous. The only way to be lonely in the wilderness is if you don't have a relationship with Yahweh. It's that simple. Through the years, we've met so many people sometimes that were so lonely. And we're willing to do almost anything just for fellowship. But sometimes we couldn't fellowship with them because they were compromising. And they weren't teachable. A lot of times you find that out when people are segregated like that, it's because they're not teachable. But the only way to really be lonely in the wilderness is if you don't have a relationship with Yahweh, because you're never alone in the wilderness. You're with Yahweh himself. But if we look at so many great men in the Bible, Elisha, John the Baptist, Moses, and even Yeshua himself, every single person, before their commission, before their ministry started, they were sent to the wilderness. Even Yeshua. That there's a training in the wilderness. There's a preparation in the wilderness that you have to be trained. You know, it's like anything else in life. If you have a job, you need to be trained. You just don't walk into jobs. So this is the point, that the kingdom is coming. And the reason he's taking us to the wilderness is, you know, like I've said many times, the believers are the inner cabinet of Yeshua's government. When his government comes to earth, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't that way, I would have told you so. And there's going to be all kinds of jobs. Everything from healing people to the ecology of the environment to rebuilding societies, of rebuilding the land of Israel and all these other lands that are going to be left desolate after nukes. So he's taking us to the wilderness to teach us the character we need to go out in the job we're going to do. And every single true believer is going to have a job in that day. So this is the point. It's something that we should be so excited about, because it's the greatest preparation for the first day of our eternity that's coming. Deuteronomy 9 and verse 7. Remember, do not forget how you made Yahweh your Elohim angry in the wilderness, even from the day that you came out of the land of Egypt until you came into the place that you have been rebellious against Yahweh. Even in Horeb, you made Yahweh angry, and Yahweh breathed angrily against you to destroy you. So again, for the many people writing and asking, you know, and struggling and going tooth and nail about leaving Babylon, I never told anybody to leave Babylon. You know, my advice is to most people in America right now, if you haven't been preparing, forget leaving Babylon, but enter the wilderness. Because if you enter the wilderness and you follow through in the wilderness, leaving Babylon will be taken care of. You'll have no problem with it. You've got to come to the wilderness. The wilderness is where you're going to get your answers, where you get your commission, and where you're going to be sent to next. So if your mind is just in leaving or not leaving Babylon, look what it says here. Don't remember how you angered me. Because what will happen is, you'll leave America, but you'll never leave Babylon. And most of the people, we've met many, many people through the years, here in Israel and other places, that have left the physical land of America, and most of them never left Babylon. They brought it with them, even in third world countries. We've seen Americans in places that didn't even have power tools, they didn't even have electric, and bringing their arrogant American attitude of, you do it now! You do my thing now! And it's like, whoa, where's this attitude coming? You know, the ugly American. It doesn't come from nowhere. You know, that, hey, I'm an American. Do it my way. I deserve it. Well, why do you deserve it more than the poor people? Because I'm American. Because this is what was indoctrinated and brainwashed into my mind by Satan. But, you know, the reality of it is, whether you live in America or Europe or anywhere else in the world, we're all equal in Yahweh's eyes. It doesn't matter if you're that poor, you know, destitute brother or sister that's in Africa, or you're in America living in a mansion house. In Yahweh's eyes, it makes no difference. In Yahweh's eyes, what matters is what's in here. What's in your heart? You know, that's what Yahweh's going to look at. When the reward comes, it's going to be on how faithful you were, on what you did with the little he gave you, not by how much your riches were or if you lived in Babylon or not. So again, I say it right off the bat, you know. I never told anybody to leave or go anywhere. What I'm telling you is, enter the wilderness. Enter the wilderness. There's 7 direct commands to leave Babylon, so I don't have to tell you to leave Babylon. You know, Yahweh already said it. He said it 7 times. But how and when and why? Simply enter the wilderness and you'll get all your answers. Because if not, you'll be fulfilling the scripture. You'll go out and you'll simply be rebellious. And I'll tell you, at least in the cases of, and we've met a lot of people that claim they left Babylon, at least 90% or more wound up back in America. And when they went back, they were twice the sons of hell for it. They changed all their beliefs. They stopped being the person they were. A lot of them even stopped believing in Yeshua. They wind up even turning to Judaism. All kinds of things. You know? So you don't want to fail in the wilderness because there's nowhere else to go. You know, once you enter it, you certainly don't want to fail because there's no one to go after that. It's not about just going somewhere. It's about our faithless life and how Babylon has become a false god to so many who are blinded of it because it's so normal to them. We didn't ask for it. We didn't ask to be born this time. We just are. And we don't realize as we're as babies growing up, you know, and now what they do, you know, children have birthday parties in America, and parents will spend $20,000-$30,000 on these theme birthday parties, and everybody dresses up like a princess. And I mean, the vanity that you're sticking into your children at that age. What good is it? What good is it for? You know? I know some brethren, not many, most people wrote me when I talked about the following the sanctuary and thanked me. They said, the women, many women wrote me and said, thank you, Don, for saying what you did about makeup and all those things. Because now we feel confident, you know, about doing it Yahweh's way. But I had a few. I had a few rebels that they wanted to fight. And my question simply is, well, where does the Bible say you can't wear makeup? I showed it in the sermon. I showed that every single time, not exception of one, where makeup is there and a woman's painting her eyes, Yahweh calls it whoredom. What more do you need to know? You know, has nothing to do with me. You got a problem? Tell Yahweh. I didn't make it up. It's not my doctrine. And my question to somebody who's against it, show me once where Yahweh is saying it's a good thing. Show me once where Yahweh is telling a woman to paint her eyes and put jewelry all over her and color her hair. Just show me once. You won't find it. And tell me, for what other reason than vanity would you do it? What other reason? You know? If I'm going to lose my hair, I'm going to lose my hair. So do I go out and take goat hair or some kind of rug and stick it on my head? That really looks better now, right? So now instead of looking like Elijah so the children won't call me Baldy, you'll see me with a goat hair on my head. Let's be real. You know? Do I really need to waste my time with that? Cosmetics, it's a multi-billion dollars. Think of all the poor brethren that don't even have food. Think of the Filipinos that lost everything. And you're going to come to me and justify that a woman should be going out spending hundreds of dollars a month on cosmetics? You know, you can do it. That's fine. You know, everybody's got free will. But I'm not going to support it. I am who I am. You like it, that's fine. You don't like it, that's fine. But I'm going to preach the word of Yahweh and I got to be faithful. Because I love you. And if I wasn't faithful, if you want me to be like the con artist guys out there and just acquiesce to every wrong thing people are doing, you come to the wrong place. You know, because I know my accountability is to Yahweh. And I don't want to be there on judgment day with the accountability of anybody's spiritual life on my hands. But even more than that, I don't want to see you lose out on salvation. That motivates me more. Not my own accountability, but I don't want to see you lose. I honestly love Yahweh's people. And I want to try my best to help everybody fill their potential. Because my potential is no more than your potential. Yahweh has given us all potential to be children of Is, and what He's given us, I don't want you to take for granted. Let's go to Jacob 1. You know, I've been in the spiritual wilderness for 15 years. So I know a little bit about it. But the scary part to me is, if you knew me 15 years ago, I'm nothing of the same person I was. And yet I know I've probably come about 2%. I have about 98% more I have to go, but at least I started the change. And that's why I say, you can't wait till the last minute to enter the wilderness. If you wait till the last minute, you're going to have problems. Jacob 1 and verse 5 says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask Elohim, who gives to all freely and with grace, and it will be given to you. But let him ask in faith, doubting nothing. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea being driven by the wind and being tossed. For do not let that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Almighty. He's a double-souled man, not dependable in all his ways. So my point of going to this scripture is, when you leave Babylon, there's a mourning period. You know, there's a mourning period. Because We're creatures of habit. You know, we have neuroassociative conditioning. We have things that we do. And I say it from firsthand. I never thought about it before I left. But after a while, I missed my family. I missed my parents. And even to a degree, I missed little things of my life that I was used to. Because I'm a person like anybody else that's a condition of habit. I want to drink my coffee this way every day. I want to do this. And when you're taken out of your environment, there's going to be insecurity that's there. And it takes time to get over that. And that's why I say, when the bottom is falling out, and all chaos is going, and World War III is here, and the banks are closed, that's not the time to start dealing with that. It really isn't, because you really have an extreme small percentage of getting through it. The time to start is now. The time to start is where, before this trouble comes, number one, it proves real faith to Yahweh. Because in that day, even if you're going to try to do it, how does Yahweh know whether you're doing it to save your skin, or you're doing it because, you know, you really are repenting and showing faith in Him? But if you do it now, while things are calm, you know, while nothing has happened yet, then you're showing Yahweh, number one, you believe in Him, that you honestly believe in faith that what He says is going to come about. But also, when this time comes, you're not going to have to deal with, you know, the mourning process of leaving Babylon while you're dealing with the world crumbling around you. And unfortunately, when we go through times of high crisis, we tend to make bad decisions. Because we're making things quickly, things are happening around us, and you don't want to be that way. You want to get yourself straight now with Yahweh. And that's what the wilderness is about. It's about getting your spiritual life together, getting your relationship together with Him. Luke 12 and verse 31. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. Like I said, you know, Yeshua said, I came to give life and give it more abundantly. So I'm not here preaching, you know, that people shouldn't get married, they shouldn't have children, they shouldn't. No, the opposite, you know. He came to give us life more abundantly. What I'm saying is, just seek ye first the kingdom. You know, you could seek ye first the kingdom and still have a great life and enjoy things of life. Nothing wrong with enjoying good food. At Sukkot, we're commanded. Eat good food, enjoy, do these things. So I'm not trying to say let's be medieval monks. You know, let's put chains on our backs. No, what I'm saying is seek ye first the kingdom and all these other things will be added to you. Stop being afraid, little flock, because your Father was pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make for yourself purses that do not grow old. An unfailing treasure in heaven, where a thief cannot come near or a moth can corrupt. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I think that comes to the heart of part of the problem. Where is our treasure? Is our treasure in our goals and aspirations of Babylon? Is our treasure in goals and aspirations for the kingdom of Yahweh? Let your loins be girded about and your lamps burning. That's what I'm saying. Get prepared. You know, your loins are girded, just like on the Passover, remember? Sandals on your feet, staff in your hand. Because there's coming a second Passover. And there's going to be a time to flee again. And we want to always be prepared. We don't want to be caught off guard. And you be like men awaiting their master when he returns from the wedding ceremony, so that he coming and knocking, they will at once open to him. Where does this come from? Comes from Matthew 25, the 10 virgins. Remember, 5 were like this. They were always prepared every day. They were in that spiritual wilderness. And when the knock came on the door, and it was Yeshua, they were ready. Come, Master. But the 5 that weren't ready, what happened? At the last minute, when they see the bottom falling out, they're running out to do what? To buy from those who sell. This is something you can't buy. You can't buy faith. You can't make it on somebody else's faith. So there's going to be no point where you can do this. You have to build your own through Yahweh. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find when he comes to be awake. Truly I say to you, he will gird himself and will make them recline, and coming he will serve them. And if he comes in the second watch, or he comes in the third watch, and finds it so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, that if the housemaster had known the hour the thief was coming, he would have watched and would not allow his house to be dug through. So again, we see all the signs. What does it matter if it's in 3 months, 3 years, or 5 years? What does it matter? You know, what matters is that we're preparing. And then whenever it happens, people ask me all the time about Babylon. I say, well, all I can tell you is it doesn't affect me anymore. I left there 15 years ago. And not only leaving the land, I mentally left Babylon. I have no connection. I have no connection to the system. I have no connection to the land. I have no connection to any of it. And boy, the peace of mind I have, you know, not being part of that. Just like Christmas. You know, that at first people, oh, what are you going to do with your children? And no, I'm not going to create it. Whoa, man, who wants that burden? It's the worst time of the year. More people commit suicide at that time of the year than anything else. Having this burden of having to buy hundreds of presents that people are expecting and nobody even likes them. You know, what a terrible time of the year. You know, man, am I thankful. And you know, living in Israel, praise Yahweh, there is no Christmas here. And it's usually December 26th or 7th that we see, oh, hey, Petra, it was Christmas 2 days ago. We don't even have to go through all that nonsense of that season, seeing all the decorations and all the other horrible things. And now they tell me in America, they've gotten worse. The decorations now, not only pagan, they're demonic from what goes on. But praise Yahweh for that. And you then be ready, for in the moment you don't expect that the Son of Man comes. When people tell me, oh, it's not going to happen, Don, for 50 years. Oh, it's not going to happen until 20. Okay. You be ready then, for in the moment you don't expect it, the Son of Man comes. That's what I say. I want to be expecting it every moment so that I'm never going to be unexpected from it. I'd rather be that way. And Peter said to him, Master, do you speak this parable to us or also to all? And here's what Yeshua says then. And the master said, who then is the faithful and wise steward whom the master will set over his house to give portion of food in their season? Blessed is that slave when his master come and will find him doing so. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if the slave should say in his heart, my master delays to come, and should begin to beat the men servants and the female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of the slave will come in a day he does not expect, and in an hour which he does not know, and he will divide him and put his portion with the unfaithful. But the slave, knowing the will of his master and not preparing, here it is, we all know the will, for nor doing according to his will be beaten with many stripes. But he who does not know and does the things that's worthy of stripes will be beaten with few stripes. For anyone who is given much to him, much is required. And to whom they have committed much to him, much more will be required. There has never been, in the history of Yahweh's having people on the earth, in particular the history of Yahweh's congregation, a time where we had more than we have now. You want to know something? If you go back to the early congregation, one of the problems they had with Rome was that people didn't have Bibles. Remember, there's only a printing press in 1440, 1450. And even then, it wasn't like as soon as the press is made, they're making millions of Bibles off the press. And people didn't have Bibles. That's one of the things that the Waldenses, Peter Waldo, being the first one to bring the Bible in the vernacular, opened up for the truth. And that's why more than 800,000, just in his lifetime, Waldenses came to faith. Because they were, for the first time, able to have a Bible like we have, instead of having the Latin Vulgate from the Catholics, the corrupted Latin Vulgate. And those people cherished it. Waldo, who was a rich merchant, gave up everything he had to print those Bibles. Because he knew the importance of it for the people and the fruit that was born from it. And here we are today, where not only do we have a Bible at our disposal, and hundreds of Bibles, different types of Bibles, but we have where Yahweh had blessed us with having what is probably the closest to the original Bible that they had since the days of Yeshua. To have the New Testament in the Aramaic, to be able to have something in our own vernacular, if we don't read Hebrew, that we have. We have lexicons. We have concordance. We have every kind of things you can have. You know, I've met people, believers from Saudi Arabia, that have told me that, you know, you can't have a Bible there. It's illegal. You talk about human rights. They're so worried about the right of the homosexual. What about the religious rights in the Arab world? That this man would take one piece of psalm, one psalm, and put it in a shoe in a secret compartment, and try to sneak it in there. Now if he's caught, he'll go to prison and maybe even be killed. And he was willing to risk his life for one psalm. Because he said, even though it's one psalm, I can read that psalm every day and it gives me faith. Here we are. We have everything Yahweh's blessed us with and more. We have everything at our disposal To much is given, much is expected. The more is given, the more will be required. What are we doing with it? And as time is going by, how on earth can anybody in the year 2014, as we're getting closer to the return of Yeshua, how can anybody doubt it? When everything that Yeshua prophesied, everything that Paul prophesied, is all before us. You read 2 Timothy 3, and the end time will be disastrous days. And you look at everything that Paul said, you think to yourself, wow, it could be bad. I can never imagine it being that bad. Whew. Boy, did he have it, and he probably left a few out that could be added in theirs. Yahweh has given us so much. You know, like I said, out of every one of you that sits in this room or hears this message, there's 5 million people out there that don't have this truth. How do we cherish that? What does that mean to us? You know, that here it is, Yahweh's doing this wonderful thing, and he says, I just need a few people that I want to work with. And that out of all those 5 million, he points and picks you. And what does it mean? Do we, like Peter, do we say, now I'm going back fishing? Or is it our life calling, our life vocation? Or is it just a hobby? You know, are we religious hobbyists? Yeah, in my spare time, I'll read my Bible, I'll do this. Or do we eat, sleep, and breathe it? That's what the wilderness is all about. The wilderness is about Yahweh blessing us to take all of this evil from the world away so that we can give him 100% of our worship and our time. And I look forward to it. I mean, it can't come a minute too late. There's nothing in this world that I want. You know, I said it. If Yahweh didn't call me for the position I'm in today, I could very happily be out somewhere on a mountain in Armenia with the sheep until the day I die or Yeshua returns. I don't need this. There's nothing in the world that's for me. I always said, since the time I was a little kid, I felt like I was born out of time. You know? I was born in 1964, so when I'm 10 and 11 years old, it's the 70s. Ugh. Rock music? Couldn't stand it. Couldn't wonder why people would listen to such stuff like that. I like the 40s music, you know, and that kind of stuff. I just always felt I was born out of time. And as I get older, I really feel it. Because I don't connect with this world in any way possible. The wilderness. We got to enter the wilderness. What fruit are we bearing for the kingdom? It's our accountability. Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3. Because there's a great lesson to learn from this. Hebrews 3 and verse 7. Talking about the children of Israel in the wilderness. Because of this, even as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, and here it is, you're hearing that voice today from his word, do not harden your hearts to provoke him, as the murmurers did in the day of temptation in the wilderness, there where your fathers tempted me, even though they saw my works for 40 years. Because of this, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. That's why I said, you want the ways of the world or the ways of Yahweh? It's your choice. Nobody's going to force you. But Yahweh does say in the book of Jeremiah, the 6th chapter, you know, to go back to the old paths. And what did the people do? They waved their fist in his face and said, we will not go. And that's what we're living with today. Verse 11. So I swore in my wrath they will not enter my rest. Here it is. In Yahweh's anger, he swore they will not be in his kingdom. Because that's what his rest is. His rest is when Yeshua returns, the 1,000 years of peace that will come on the earth where there will be no suffering, there will be no pain, there will be no war. And a whole generation lost out on that. Beware therefore, my brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart which does not believe, and you will be cut off from the living Elohim. But search your hearts each day until the day which is called the day of Yahweh, that not any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Messiah, if truly from the beginning to the very end we hold steadfast to the true covenant. As in the saying, today if you will hear the echoes of his voice, do not harden your hearts to anger him. For were those who heard and provoked him, who were those who heard and provoked him? Was it not those who came out of Egypt through Moses, although not all of them? But with whom was he angry those 40 years? Was it not with the one sinning whose bones lay in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear they would not enter his rest except those disobeying? So we see that we're not able to enter in because of unbelief. And like I said, that's the thing that grieves me. You know, leaving Babylon, not leaving Babylon, that's for people to decide. There's a work to do in Babylon. There's people that are there in Babylon not because they want to be, but because they're helping other brethren. We have elders in Babylon. Somebody's got to be there as long as we have people. I told them years ago we were doing congregational building, and we were starting to build up congregations. And then once the time came, that was over. And I believe Babylon fell several years back. I had a meeting with the elders, and I said, we went from congregational building to search and rescue. And that's what these guys are doing there now. And they're good servants of Yahweh. And believe me, none of our elders want to be there. But I praise Yahweh that there's men that have the integrity that will stay there to help the other people. So it's not about leaving somewhere or not leaving there. It's about a spirit of unbelief. And anybody that considers himself a true person of Yahweh, I don't care where you are in the world, whether you're in Babylon or Europe or anywhere else, if you are not preparing for what's coming, then you have a spirit of unbelief. It's that simple. Because if today we turned on the radio and they said, there's a Category 5 hurricane that's coming through this area here in Israel, and it's going to be the worst that's ever came. There's going to be winds of 300 miles an hour like we've never seen before. And it's sure, there's no doubt about it. It's already hit Turkey, it's coming down. If we knew it for sure, there's not one of us that would tell me we wouldn't prepare. That you wouldn't get extra water, that you wouldn't maybe put boards on your house or whatever it is. And there's a bigger storm coming that's way bigger than a Category 5 hurricane. There's a storm that's coming that the Bible tells us is going to change civilization as we know it. Clearly in Revelation, there's four angels on the four wings of this earth waiting for the day and the hour and the time that Yahweh says now, where a third of mankind will die in this war that's coming. And in the last year or two, we see every single piece of the puzzle coming together to know how close that is. And like I said, I'm not predicting. Might happen tomorrow, might happen in 5 years from now. But what does it hurt to prepare? The only reason not to prepare is if you don't believe. That's the only reason. And Yahweh's people need to be preparing. They need to be preparing for what's coming, because as we see, the ones who were not able to enter were because of unbelief. Therefore, let us fear, lest while the promise of entering into the rest remains, lest some among you find you are falling short from entering. Not everybody is on the right track. For indeed, we have had the good news preached to us, even as they also, but the word did not profit those hearing, not having been mixed with faith. And I say this many times. To most people, I think what they have is hope. And not the Sephardic, not the biblical hope, which is an assured hope. It's a hope like, boy, I hope it's true. I hope there's an Elohim up there. I've had people that were believers for years and years and years sometimes sit down and have a heart-to-heart to me that they're not even sure if Yahweh exists. It's like, what? How on earth can you believe that? I always say, think of the alternative. How else could us being here is pretty much proof of it. You know, the fact that everything is happening. You know, you can look at one flower, look at one human being in DNA, look at the birth of a baby, look at a million things. It's not hard to prove Yahweh exists. And I say you need much more faith to be an atheist, because it's utterly ridiculous. I can't believe that anyone could actually be that ignorant. And that's why I say I don't think they are. I think when somebody claims to be an atheist, they just simply don't want accountability. But nobody's that stupid in the world we live in, that all this came from nothing. A bang, a blob, you know, a piece of seaweed. We all get whatever they want to come up with theory. But very, very clearly, we know that Yahweh's there. The problem is, though, that when we're not drawing near to Him, we're having a spirit of unbelief. Hebrews 11, we'll be ending up here in a few minutes. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Yahweh. For it is right that the one drawing near to Yahweh should believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's it. It's pretty simple. You know, like I say, once you believe, everything else becomes simple. Yahweh said everything is going to happen in the end time. I don't like to think about bad things and war and all that, but unfortunately I happen to be born in this time. You know, it's not 1886 in Little House on the Prairie, unfortunately, because it's a great time that would have been to live in, but we're not living in that. We're living in this immoral end time, you know, this wicked end time. So the key of it is we're preparing because we believe that He is, and we believe that His word is true. And we believe that He's going to bring it about, and that He's a rewarder of those who trust Him. We drop down to verse 8. Having been called out by faith, Abraham obeyed to go forth to a place which he was going to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not understanding where he went. You don't know how many people write me, well, if I left America, where would I go? 193 countries in the world. There's a lot of choices. You know, as an American, you can go anywhere in Central, South America. Many countries that would take you. What do you mean, where do I go? You're really going to try to tell me it's America or a bust? You know, I don't believe it. I simply don't believe it. Look at Abraham. He went on not knowing where he went. Yahweh would not give 7 direct commands to leave a place if there was nowhere to go. The key is you just have to have faith. You have to have faith and understand the times we're living in. By faith, he resided as a foreigner in a land of promise, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the joint heirs of the same promise. For he looked forward to a city having the foundations of which the builder and maker is Yahweh. That's the key. You know, we are all strangers in our strange land. You know, even though we're here in the land of Israel right now, this isn't our promise. Our promise is not this land. Physically, it will be, but it's going to be much changed by the time Yeshua returns. Our promise is the kingdom of Yahweh that's coming. Our promise is this kingdom like he talks about in Isaiah 35. A kingdom that's coming, that's filled with righteousness, where his Torah will go forth from Zion, where there'll be water everywhere on the earth, where people will have good food that's not genetically modified, without pesticides, with all these things. There won't be any sickness, for the leaves of the trees will be the healing of the nations. These are all the things. So are we looking for a city which foundations are Yahweh? Or are we banking all our trust in a country in Satan's world? Verse 13. For these all died by way of faith, not having received the promises, but seeing them afar off and being persuaded and having embraced and confessed that they are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those saying such things make clear that they seek a fatherland. And truly, if they remembered from where they came out, they would have had time to return. But now they stretch forth to a better, that is a heavenly land. Therefore, Yahweh is not ashamed of them for him to be called their Elohim, for he prepared a city of them. And believe me, when we left America, we didn't have an easy time. That first year was hell, you know, but we were going through the wilderness. But we never thought about going back, you know. We came from there. Yahweh took us out. You know how hard it was? How much preparation, everything to finally get out? Once we're out, you think we're going to go back? No. Because we're looking forward. We're looking forward to a fatherland. And I don't know where we'll wind up going from here. You know? I'm not Israeli citizen. Our work here might be done tomorrow. It might be done in a month. It might be done in a year. I don't know. But I know it won't last forever. And I know that when it's done here, like I say to Petra, I'll cry one night and then I'll wake up in the morning and it's where do we go next? You know, nothing wrong with mourning, everything in its time. But there'll be another job to do. And after Israel, there'll be somewhere else. But until Yeshua's feet come on that Mount of Olives, my focus is going to be on the kingdom of Yahweh. That's simply the way it's going to be. You know, she can tell you, we're up at 5 o'clock in the morning and until we go to bed at 9 o'clock at night, I'm working for the kingdom. From early morning to late at night. Take a little break here to eat something. Take a break here for homeschooling or family time. But beside that, there's nothing else. It's the kingdom of Yahweh because the time is short. And I know because of what's coming that how much has to be done. And the harvest is white, but the workers are few. And I got to get this work done. That's my work. I know it doesn't depend on me, but Yahweh's given me a work just like he's given you a work. And I can only be faithful in my work, and that's what I'm trying to do. Because I want to help Yahweh in his plan, and I want the most people to come to salvation. I know that's the most important thing. Nothing else is important as a human life. And each of us are called to help to bring those human lives. And every single thing in our ministry we're doing is helping toward bring another child to salvation. You know, it's just like a baby being born. What greater joy do two people get when they see that newborn baby? And you see that life that Yahweh allowed two people, a male and a female, to come together in marriage and create a new life. And yet, as believers, each one of us is like that. Each one in our ministry, Yahweh gives us opportunity that we can create a new spiritual life by going out and furthering his word and bringing it to somebody else. What greater can we have? Hebrews 12 and verse 16. Hurry here. Hebrews 12 and verse 16 says about watch diligently that not any of you lack from the grace of Yahweh. Verse 15, then he says in verse 16, that not any fornicator or profane one as Esau, who for one meal gave up his birthright. For you know also that afterwards, desiring to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, although seeking it with tears. Like I say, there's not a prisoner in the world that when he's before that judge, you know, isn't sorry, right? I am so, what's that word? Sorry. Sorry for what I did. Yeah, they're all sorry before the judge. They're all sorry when they're going to prison, but they're not sorry beforehand. They're not giving themselves up and saying, look, I did this crime. I want to pay the penalty. And this is what happened with Esau. Esau was not sorry because he had no love toward the birthright that Yahweh gave him. He was sorry because his brother had something that he didn't. It was envy that made him cry with tears, not remorse, not repentance. And Yahweh has given us something that, like I said, for every one of you that he's given his spirit, there's 5 million out there that he didn't. There is such a specialness, such a sanctity to being a first fruit to Yahweh that we have to think about that. And if we don't, we risk losing out on this great reward. The last scripture I'm going to go to is Proverbs 1, which is a very, very sobering scripture. Because for those who refuse to enter the wilderness, for those that are not taking the calling now, and they're not entering and they're not overcoming, look at what Yahweh says in Proverbs 1 and verse 24. He says, because I called and you refused, I extended a hand and none inclines. And you have ignored all my counsel and you did not desire my warning. I also will laugh at your calamity and I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity arrives like a tempest, when distress and anguish come on you, then they shall call on me and I will not answer. They will seek me early, but they will not find me. Instead, they hated knowledge and they chose not the fear of Yahweh. They did not desire my counsel. They despised all my reproof. And they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own lusts. For their going astray of the simple kills them in the ease of fools. But he who listens to me shall live securely and shall be at ease from the fear of evil. So Yahweh makes it very clear that there is a point of no return. And if we haven't reached it yet, boy, are we getting close. That right now, the bottom hasn't fallen out. Right now, we still have opportunity. Right now, things are still going. And like I said, it's a shaky world. Nobody can predict if this is going to go on for a few more months or a few more years. But one thing is certain, we see things coming that we know a change is coming. Everybody says that. No matter how you look, political, financial, everybody knows it. So it gives us the opportunity as a warning from Yahweh to enter the wilderness. Like I said before, I never told anybody to leave Babylon, because if you don't first change in your heart, it doesn't make any difference to change in your land. You have to build the faith in Him and let Yahweh choose what to do from there. When you start to live by faith, you're going to be criticized by those around you. That's another reason to get out of Babylon, because it's a faithless land. And the people around you will start telling you, you're this, you're that, you're brainwashed, you're this, you know. And yet, the people that are saying it don't have the spirit of Yahweh. And where do they end up? They're trusting in the system of Babylon. For us with the Holy Spirit, we have a higher calling. And we do understand. And it's blasphemy to see the miracles of Yahweh in our life and not to believe and take action. We must repent of our pride and humble ourselves before Yahweh while we still have time before it's too late. As the spiritual wilderness will not last forever, the same way as the physical wilderness 3,500 years ago didn't last forever. And the real wilderness is coming soon. Time to wake up and learn the lessons we need to learn in the wilderness. Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.